Czechs are working in crisis spots around the globe, predominantly through the charity foundation People in Need. One of the places most sorely in need of that aid is the Democratic Republic of Congo, whose eastern conflict was largely unknown in the Czech Republic until a few people who thought they could help came in and started doing so. Think the perfect climate, lushness, and unending mineral wealth. Unlimited war, mass rape, and slave labor. The Congo leads the world in both regards. Wherever you go in this place of exoticism and hardship, you hear the deeply stirring sound of song. The work of People in Need began in a place called Bunyakiri, a territory of jungle and towering mountains. Marketa Kutilova came to the place as a journalist and left a humanitarian worker.
The first time I arrived here, I was really, really, really shocked. I found here Catholic Sister Clotilde, who is taking care of rape survivors for 10 years. She's almost the only one in whole region, which is 120,000 people, who is taking care of these women. But more or less, she has no material assistance for them. So she always only provided them some kind of moral support and psychological support, and she let the women to stay in her own place. So when I arrived, I found 20 women living in terrible conditions with their children. These women have been held as sexual slaves by the Hutus, and because of this, there is a huge stigma surrounding them. They are called by the community Hutu women, and the community refused them, as did their husbands. So these women stay abandoned with their children. They didn't know where to go, so they went to Clotilde. So I found them living there in terrible conditions, nothing to eat, no proper shelter. Their children didn't go to school. They never got any medical assistance, nothing. So I was really shocked.
Since Sister Clotilde first began aiding the rape survivors, she has registered 1,648 victims of sexual violence in Bunyakiri. They are not all women. Among them are children as young as 2 years old, and many men as well. It is often said that rape is not about sex, but about control. In the context of the war in eastern Congo, however, it goes even beyond that, existing as a means of achieving not only personal but societal destruction. Brandy Walker is an American working at Panzi Hospital in eastern Congo, the only major hospital for the treatment of victims of sexual violence and one of the main partners of People in Need.
Rape here is a weapon of war. It's used here not to just destroy the women, but to actually destroy entire families and entire communities. The rapes often don't occur in private. We've heard a number of cases where communities have been brought out at gunpoint and forced to watch the women being raped. And this traumatizes not just the women, but families and larger communities who then have to deal with this trauma for many years to come. So absolutely the women, but I think the plan is much larger than that. It's an attempt to destroy and break apart communities.
Putting aside for a moment all that brought about the deeply troubled Congo, namely colonization and foreign intrigue, what pains this African country, the size of Western Europe, is at heart an endless war over rocks. For in terms of mineral wealth, the Democratic Republic of Congo is the richest country in the world. The conflict is a direct continuation of the 1994 Rwandan genocide, after which the culpable Hutu militias fled to neighboring Congo and dug into the infinite jungle. There they were pursued by Rwandan Tutsi militias who have in turn been at odds over the years with the native Congolese army, all of which has given rise to various minor insurgencies, such as that of Laurent Nkunda. What all of the armies on this battlefield have done is taken some of the mined resources for themselves, forced the locals into servitude, the children into battle, and the women into sexual slavery. It was the latter crime that brought in People in Need. The scale of sexual violence in Congo is believed to be unprecedented, with as many as 200,000 rape victims in the country today.
We see a couple of different things with the rebel groups. They will come in and attack the villages, plunder the villages, and in the process rape the women. Another instance is rebel groups will come in and will attempt to drive the villagers out, and in doing so they rape the women to instill terror so that the women don't return. In the first case that I mentioned, what often happens is that the rebel groups, they don't kill the women and they don't kill the villagers because they need the villagers there to grow the crops, to provide the infrastructure so that they they can continue to thrive. They need them there to run the local economy and to supply the rebel groups.
The first step to take was to ensure immediate aid for the victims. The psychological and physical consequences of rape as an implement of war make an appallingly long list. Victims often suffer from fistula, the opening of the intestinal and genital passages into a single cavity, and younger victims are left mentally handicapped by trauma. People in need first set out to create a system of immediate medical aid. Once that was in place, the focus could shift to the fact that many of the victims had no homes and no livelihood. A tract of land was purchased in Bunyakiri, and houses were built for the victims of sexual violence who had been abandoned by their communities and their husbands. One of the local men working with people in need showed me around what is an entire village created with Czech funds and initiative, and introduced me to its inhabitants.
Jumbo.
Jumbo sana.
These houses were built by people in need?
By people in need.
All of these houses?
All of them.
How many houses? For how many people?
26 houses. We have 26 families here. Balijenga tu kusaidia ba mama. Balisaidia ka ba mama bakabajenga donc binya bajiwezi benya bana ba bwana. People need had built this house because we haven't house and we haven't no husband and they was ripped. Tunafurahi tuko na nyumba, mimi hatuna. Benge tuko zinala. We say thank you because we didn't have a house and we stay very well. That we say thank you for people in need. But after that we continue to need how what to eat. The children's needs clothes. It isn't easy to find a clothes for them and it is difficult to find to eat every day. Food and money for the school.
Incentive and even money means a lot, but it isn't everything. Critical to the success of any endeavor in Bunyakiri or anywhere else is self-sustainability. To that end, the People in Need Foundation began a program of education, not only providing goats, but teaching the villagers to breed them, not only providing clothes, but the means to make them, in an effort to bring together a functioning society here. Sister Clotilde spoke to me of what the Czech charity has brought her and her women, and what it has meant to them.
First, they started a microcredit project which aided 27 female survivors of rape, and they supported the schooling of their children. They also, in the microcredit program, helped the women to buy livestock, cattle. They've also helped the women to have vocational training in making soap and sewing and embroidery, and this has aided them in the reintegration process. People in Need is like a star that has just shined in the middle of the night for them.